Well, tonight we're going to talk about life-defining decisions. And this was originally taught in January 24 of 2014 by Pastor Joshua. And it actually helped me define some things in my life, and I just wanted to be able to share that with you and have a fresh perspective on this, because a lot of people may not remember it or weren't around at the time. So it bears repeating because it's strong meat, and I don't know how many people like steak. I married a man who loves steak and potatoes, and so I learned to start loving meat when I got married, because I had to make meat or make reservations to get meat. One or the other. Anyway, whatever you eat, the heartiest thing that you eat, that's what's important. So you get a full meal. We just don't want baby food anymore, right? We want to, you know, the chunks of the good stuff that God has for us, right? So that's what we're going to do tonight. So let's look at the overview. It says your past and current life-defining decisions will determine your future, which includes whether you will die. We don't want that part. Or live and remain. We want that part. And will also affect your outcome in the millennium after the rapture. The effects of these decisions are just as eternal as your decision to ask Jesus into your heart. So that's the number one and the most important. But it shows how important our decisions are, because it will make a difference, right? And in addition, your past and current life-defining decisions will also determine your thoughts, which determine your decisions. So your thoughts determine what you decide. Your decisions determine your words. So what's coming out of your thoughts will affect your decisions. Your decisions affect what you say, affects your words. Your words determine your actions. So your words will tell you what you're going to be doing. Your actions then will determine your behavior and will form either good or bad habits. Sometimes people say, but I'm trying my hardest, but yet it still isn't good enough. And they think just because they're giving it 100% that it should help us become overcomers. But if you're not giving 100% of what the Word of God says to do, then it's just in vain, and we're just doing it because of a habit, something we learned, and we think because we've learned it, it's good. Practice does not make perfect. It just makes you keep on doing the same thing over and over the way you learned it. And if the way you learned it isn't the winner's way, you won't be winning. If it doesn't bring you victory, then why don't we go back to the playbook, the Bible, and find out how God wants us to have victory and do it His way and not our way. So our decision to change is so important. That defines us. Do I want to keep doing it my way, which really was the wrong way, or do I want to learn God's way and do it better and just imitate Him? Whatever He says, do it. Whatever the Word says, act on it. Speak it. Think it. But we have to decide to live it. That's so important. And we're going to analyze our lives tonight and see how much more we need to get up to par. How much have we done, but are we there yet? And let's not get weary in well-doing. Let's not get discouraged. Let's just know that we could see a marker and a benchmark of where we came from, where we're headed, and as long as we're headed upward and onward, we're doing good, okay? And where we fall short, where we're weak, God says He is what? strong. So don't get worried. We are still in an age where grace can carry you. That's why we have it, because we need it. Because I used it up yesterday, and today I'm still using what I've got, and tomorrow I'm going to need more. Amen? Okay, so remember, your actions determine your behaviors or habits. Then your behavior or habits will determine what? Your character. Are you acting in the fruit of the Spirit like God? Are we always operating in God's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, humility, well, faith, and then humility and self-control? And so we can analyze that, and all nine of those fruit. It's nine characters of one fruit. I say I still have to improve in a lot of them. And somebody very dear to me said, sometimes I think my fruit is like a little grape, but I want it to grow like a watermelon. Me too. Okay, so our behavior and habits determine our character, and our character determines our destiny. Are you going to fulfill the God-given destiny by your life-defining decisions? By making decisions based on God's word, or making decisions based on whatever we grew up doing as routine and can't break out of that routine or habit? Are we going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to change us, and to make us more like Jesus? I know it's easy to say. It's not always easy to do. I know your heart wants to do that. But I think that we have to get really more serious about our walk with God. Daily you watch the news and you see so many things going on in this world that are coming to pass that we've studied in Revelation. We're getting closer and closer. And you see the earthquakes, the wars, the rumors of wars. You're seeing so many things, corruption, anarchy. You're seeing division. And, you know, you see all these gang members and all the horrible things that they do. And there's safety in Jesus. And those that don't know Jesus, I don't know how they live without him, to be honest. I want to fulfill my destiny the way God wants me to fulfill it. I'm sure you do too. But we want to do it his way. So by taking a look at your decisions and your habits, you can see what direction your life is taking right now. And some of us have to make a detour. Some of us have to make a course correction because we're not spending enough time in the Word. We're not spending enough time with Jesus. We're not spending enough time developing, hearing the voice of God so clearly, so sharply that you don't have a doubt in the world that it's Him. And you're not tracking your record, what percentage of the time that you hear Him, you're right. Most people don't track that. Are your prayers coming to pass quickly, or do they take a long time? Well, we need to start accelerating the power that we walk in. Because when the end times come, it's too late to start practicing. You have to be an expert at that point. And so sometimes people say, you sound like a sergeant in the army. I said, yes, I'm in the army of God. And if someone doesn't push you, you're not going to get there. But with love, I push myself harder. You know why? Because the flesh doesn't want to get off the couch. The flesh doesn't want to do what it's supposed to. The flesh doesn't want to exercise. The flesh doesn't want to read more of my Bible, spend more time with God. But my spirit is willing, but I have to get my flesh stronger. So I have to get to the point where every day I tell my body what it's supposed to do instead of my body telling me what it thinks it's supposed to do. Because if I listened to my body, I would never have been healed. I have to listen to what the Word says, and I have to believe that it is true no matter what happens in my life. So let's start making decisions that create habits that we will take, that will take us to life and not to death, to a destiny that will change the world around you and cause you to be here when Jesus returns. That is not going to be an easy thing to do, but it's doable with the Holy Spirit helping you. Why? Because changing the vicious cycle into a victorious, virtuous cycle means that we really have to put the flesh down. Sometimes it's really hard to discern those thoughts that seem good and seem like God and turn out not to be. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I have. And then I say, God, where did I miss it? And usually it's you were rushing and didn't spend time enough with me. You didn't develop the voice of the Holy Spirit hearing enough because there was too many blockages of the things in the world that you're doing for the world and not just sitting before God, before the Holy of Holies, before the throne, before the feet of Jesus, being a Mary, not a Martha. Time of Martha is gone. Okay, your name is Martha's very good. God made good things, so Martha's good. But it means don't be the kind of Martha in the Bible that she just wanted to serve Jesus and serve Jesus and serve Jesus instead of sit down and be with Jesus. But her sister Mary just wanted to be with Jesus. And I guess there was a lot of cooking in the kitchen, and so there was some complaining about Martha. Hey, Mary's not helping me. And Jesus is like, leave her alone. We need to get like Mary. Let stuff go. God will help you get it done. Spend more time with Him. Then He'll give you a smarter way to work, not a harder way to work, and get it done faster. Even if He has to send angels of God to do it for you as your reward for diligently seeking Him. You have to trust that when you spend time with Him, He's going to take care of it. Amen? And so, I want to be alive and remain like the rest of you, but we need to walk in power, authority, dominion, healed, whole, prosperous, victorious, fearless, working the miraculous as you establish the kingdom of God wherever you go as a powerful ambassador of heaven. If that is not happening in your life every day as a norm, we're not there yet, but let's progress more and advance more, okay? A, life-defining decisions are made by the Word of God or inquiring of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How can you be led of the Spirit of God if you can't even hear His voice? If you can't discern if it's your voice, the Holy Spirit's voice, or the devil pretending to be the Holy Spirit, then how are you supposed to be led by Him? So let's back it up. So as Deborah was teaching to pray in tongues and interpret in tongues, Pastor James was teaching how to speak in tongues and be in the presence of God and let God speak to you. You know, we've been doing interpretation of tongues and praying in tongues, interpretation tongues. Oh, gee, over 30 years now. And I find that I still don't know God like I want to know God. I still need to improve in so many more areas. So I said, Lord, help us to be ready. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be one that says, oh, I studied it. I was there every Sunday and heard it. I want to be one of the ones going up and going, it's really happening. Wow, this is cool. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So number one, we make 25,000 decisions a day. How many of those decisions that we make are led by the Spirit of God? Because if you make your own decision, it wasn't consulting the Holy Spirit. So consult and inquire more of Him, okay? Number two, avoid death-defining decisions. They are bad decisions and have catastrophic effects. Haven't we lived through some of those already? Thank God we have testimonies that God helped us out regardless, right? Because we wouldn't be here today to tell about it, right? But do you want to go through it or avoid it? See the difference of growth? I don't want to have to experience it anymore. I want God to show me before bad things happen so I could stop it in the spirit. Number three, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It doesn't say that people perish for a lack of faith. So a lot of people have a lack of faith, but they're not studying the Word of God to show themselves a workman that need not be ashamed, but approved unto God. So we have to study God's Word more. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God and also will forget your children. I also will forget your children. Do you not see how many kids have problems? They have a lot of childhood diseases. They're being attacked by different things and whatever. Their covering, their parental covering, is not a godly one. So God can't protect them. So that's why ABC, we pray for the children. Because someone's got to. They're innocent, you know. But the sins of the fathers go unto the generations, at least four generations removed. That's why I break curses, for ancestral curses. I don't go just four generations back. I go all the way to Adam. Just like, get it done. Okay, so B, make a decision to look to Jesus on the cross to rescue you. In Numbers 21:1-9, the Israelites made a bad decision to complain and were bitten by snakes because of their sin. Complaining and being disobedient. God answered Moses' prayer because he was not in sin and told the people to look upon the bronze snake on a pole to get healed. Isn't that the weirdest thing? The snakes are biting the people, but you gotta look at a snake to get healed. I don't even wanna see a snake. We went to this museum where there were these live snakes, and they said, do you wanna hold it? And I went, no. And it was all whatever. And my husband goes, yes. And so he's holding the snake. I'm like, ah. Wash your hands before you touch me. Okay, so I don't know. So I'm just not into snakes. So I thought that was really weird. That God's like, okay, look on the bronze snake on the pole to get healed. But then, you know, it's very good to find out knowledge of why God did that, which was a foreshadowing of how we look to Jesus on the cross for salvation and healing. You know, I never thought about that. And I thought, it's weird, you know, the medical symbols, they have a pole with a snake on it. You ever seen those? Mm-hmm. The healing. See, they're thinking about Numbers 21:1-9. Mm-hmm. The healing. So Jesus took on the sin. And so if you look on Jesus, then we get healed. Remembering what he did for us. Okay, so C, what are life-defining decisions? So they made a bad decision. And the consequences of the decision was being bit and people were dying from snake bites. You know, if they just obeyed God, didn't complain, they would have been okay. So see, what are life-defining decisions? Proverbs 23:7. As a man or woman thinks in his or her heart, so is he or she. So a lot of times problems in our lives are a result of what is in our heart. And then we think that that's what's happening. So we really have to have the Word of God engrafted, melded into our hearts so that it would then purify our hearts so that we will see the truth and not the skewing that the demons want us to see. Because those that are pure in heart will see who? Jesus. Those that are pure in heart will see Jesus. So I ask God, help me purify my heart more and more every day. Okay? So we have to, of course, decide to be born again. And when we minister to others, they have to know this. Because otherwise their decisions to not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior will have terrible consequences eternally. Number two, we have to decide to prepare for the rapture and millennium. It doesn't mean just come to church and hear about it from the pulpit. It doesn't mean memorizing your scriptures. It does mean implementing what we're learning into a lifestyle so that now every decision I make has to be based on what the Holy Spirit tells me to do and gives me permission to do, because there will be one day where he'll tell me something sounds very, very odd, but I have learned to obey immediately and it will save our lives. Okay? So we got to practice now with the small things. So when it counts, it's automatic. It goes to a new default system. Okay? Computer programs that you are using a certain font, your favorite font, and you're typing a letter or an email or whatever, and then for some reason you hit a button, and all of a sudden the next line defaults to whatever it was programmed with, and just keeps coming up that way. Every time it comes up automatically on the screen, you have to change it or change to the default. You go into the settings and it says, which font do you want? And you click in, it says, do you want to use this now as your new default? And I click yes. I didn't like the other one. So if we don't know how to click that yes for default in the spirit, by changing your old way, takes at least 21 days to create a new what? Habit. So you're changing a default system from the old unto the new, because your body was used to boomeranging back to it. Like, I can change my hair to part this way, and I can change it to part that way. Sometimes I just feel like a new style. So, but when I change it to this way, it still flops back. And I'm like hairspraying it and putting mousse on it and blow drying it and whatever. And it's still bloop because it's used to it. And so the hairdresser uses these words. You got to train your hair to get used to it. And you have to go shampoo it so the wetness really goes all the way through. And then when you blow dry it, then you are getting it to a point where it's more flexible and it starts getting used to it. And then you have to use two bottles of spray, and then it stays there for a while. And then in about a month, it just stays there, you know? So God says he wants a church without spot or wrinkle. And that means he's got to use a lot of spray starch to get the, you know, bad defaults out and help us to keep in the right way. And so if you catch yourself going back to old habits, think, I have changed my default system. That's a lie of the devil. I am now a victorious Christian. I'm going to do that anyway. I'm not going to do it anymore. Somebody who used to, you know, look at Playboy magazines, he doesn't even go by the rack area in the store anymore. He goes in the other door. You see? And if someone has a magazine, don't be like looking over at it. Change your default system. Do you see what I'm saying? You know? And avert the eyes, you know? So we have to start thinking, how do I stop the defaults in my life that were not godly and create new defaults so that I can then fulfill my destiny by developing a more godly character in that area? It comes back down to life-defining decisions. I have to decide that I'm going to work on it and ask the Holy Spirit to help me, because trust me, I need his help. Because if I could do it on my own, I would have already been there. just like no man can tame his or her tongue. And so I have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me do that. And the more I ask him and the more I affirm and the more I get rid of demons catch myself and be vigilant of what I'm saying and give permission to people around me to let me know if I've said something without realizing it, then that helps me, you know, in a loving way so that I could be like, oh, you're right. Things are telling me. All right. So we need help. Don't just try doing it on your own. Ask God and ask the people in our church, ask your pastor to be a support system to you wherever you need that. And so when you decide to make current decisions, which will have a positive effect for your eternity, that's very important. Now, D, how the past has influenced our current lives. Do you want a life of security or risk? Some people say, I love risk. And there are some fun things to do, like if you want to go skiing at the top of the mountain, it's a little risky on the double diamond lanes. But if you haven't really skied them before, not a really good skier, not a really good thing to do the first thing you do when you get on skis. You might want to start at the bunny slope. And then if you don't go down the bunny slope on your backside all the way from the top of the hill to the bottom, then you want to try a regular ski route so that you start developing your skills and don't just jump out there, because that's not wise. Demons will make you jump out there before you're ready. And I guess if you have faith, you've got a lot more angels helping you, so that you make sure that you make it to the bottom of the hill without looking like a snowball when you get down to the bottom of it, okay? And let's have another question. Do you want to work for yourself with Jesus as your CEO or for a company? Or if you are at a company, is your work unto God? Mm-hmm. Or are you just trying to please your boss? Or are you going to exceed that by pleasing God? 3, past decisions have brought us where we are. 4, what's more important, living closer to church or your work? I asked that of somebody once. Why don't you move closer to the church? Mm-hmm. No, it's just easier for me to be at work. That person's no longer at church. Because demons want to make sure that life gets in the way. The decisions should be always based around church, because we have to have a God-centered life. E, we want to be in the right position when the Lord Jesus returns. The people that were in the towers at 9/11 on that day, many Christians there were not listening to God. Maybe they didn't know how. Maybe they were growing, but they didn't get to the point where they could. So they're now with Jesus. But we have to learn those lessons. School of hard knocks. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, 1, before the peace with Israel occurs. Okay, so you want to be in the right position when the Lord returns. We want to be in the right position before the Temple of Solomon is rebuilt. We want to be in the right position before the stock market crashes worse than 1929. We want to be in the right position before there is worldwide depression and all the countries are going bankrupt, and then the Antichrist will swoop in and try to save the world. And if you take the mark of the beast, then he'll give the people food or whatever. Can't take that mark. That person's soul is lost forever. And that we need to warn the people. 5, we want to be in the right position before the ending of the great apostasy. Google Online Dictionary defines apostasy as the abandonment or renunciation of a religious or political belief. A, denominational large churches will come against true churches led by the Spirit of God, thinking they are heretics and cults because they're not user-friendly churches. And they don't want to talk about sin. They are allowing people to live together, sin together, do whatever they want, that is ungodly and that is not according to the word of God, so they can get more tithes and they can get more people in their church and more followers on their Instagram and Twitter or whatever. And they just want to be famous and rich. Many churches are in that category. They want to have a love for all religions. But Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life to the Heavenly Father. And they're going to think the churches that stand strong and preach the full gospel are the wrong way. Because in the end times, right shall be wrong and wrong shall be right, and the persecution shall come. And it shall come mainly from the church. So I want to be on the right side, not the wrong side. Mm-hmm. Start number six, start laying the foundation of your habits of the life you want when the Antichrist, 1 John 2:18, comes, because he will try to prevent the return of Jesus and kill Christians and Jews. Mm-hmm. We must be the true religion if we're the ones that are being persecuted. They don't care about anybody else, so they don't think they're a threat. Interesting. Okay, so 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. There's a lot of people that have misled many Christians astray, many sheep. And so we have to ask God all the time, Lord, help me not be deceived, but I want to be set free by the truth. The truth will set me free. And that's why we have to hear his voice clearer than ever before. A lifestyle of fasting and prayer produces power. Luke 5:33. They said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And B, pray in the name of Jesus, because it's not our name that makes a difference. It's in the name of who we represent. John 14:13 says, ask whatever, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. What do you think whatever means? Whatever. So why are we asking? Is there any lack in your life? Ask. He'll meet the need. Be bold enough to receive it, because it's already yours. You are a co-heir with Christ Jesus, and we need to start tapping into that inheritance that he wants us to have from heaven on earth right now, to use as his ambassadors of heaven on earth. And so we need to have the decision in our mind to say, Lord, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to get it. It's mine. All I have to do is reach up. My Heavenly Father's not a pauper. My Heavenly Father is not sick. My Heavenly Father does not have confusion. My Heavenly Father is not lost. My Heavenly Father is not one that would be stingy, but he gives liberally and generously wisdom, and he has given us healing and health, and he has given us everything that we need so that nothing of the enemy can by any means harm us, so that we should harm the enemy. And when we walk in the room, the demon should say, oh my gosh, it's an ABC-er. Get out of here. I'm scared of ABC-ers because they're going to do something terrible to me. We take dominion wherever our feet walk, on top of the devil's head. Do not let the devil steal from you anymore. I don't care what's happening in your life. You take back from the devil what he stole from you. Your health, your peace, your kids, your relationships, whatever it is time to make a life-defining decision that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we are victorious in God, and that we are going to walk as his ambassadors, and all of heaven is at our disposal, because whatever we need, God has already given to us in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And see, you have the power in Jesus. when you are spirit-filled as super conquerors. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and still loves us. And if you are not conquering the things that are affecting you in your life, how can you be a super conqueror? So let's just go for it this week and say, you know what? It's a lie of the devil, and I am not going to let it happen anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a decision. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know that scripture that says, paraphrase, when you look at Satan and when it's all done and you go, it is he that we were afraid of? Mm-hmm. Greater is he that's in you than whoever's attacking you. Remember, the Israelites thought they were grasshoppers when they went into Canaan because there were giants. They were taller and bigger. Come to find out, when Joshua and Caleb went in, 40 years later, when they took the citadel of Jericho, they found out that the citizens of Jericho were afraid of the God of the Israelites. They could have taken it the first time, but the devil lied to them, and they thought they were small. And they were afraid, and they thought they weren't as big as the enemy. Fearless are you because you are in Christ Jesus. Fearless because you have no fear in Jesus' name. And when you are fearless, the giants are afraid of you because you stand up with your Jesus. And when the giant demons look at you, all they see is him in you. Amen. Amen. D, have thoughts that create decisions that lead to habits that make life-defining decisions from now on. Here's the recommendation. Change your lifestyle to be planned around a habit of drawing closer to God and completely believe his word. Wherever there is lack and a challenge, you are not believing his word 100%. Bottom line. So we need to say, Lord, help me. And what do? You start studying the word on that subject, because faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word, okay? And then you say, Lord, help me to spend more time with you, to draw closer to you. Show me how to rework my schedule. You know, say you got a lot going on your plate, but he knows and he'll help you. And all you have to do is one little step, 5 more minutes with him. Start there. 5 minutes more. In the shower, start talking in tongues more. When you're driving in your car, start praising God more. Whatever it is, start there and increment. And then God will show you. And then he'll hew out a path where you never thought that you could have more time with him. But you pursue it, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal your time so you won't be with God more than you are now, so you won't get stronger than you are. That's a strategy of the devil. Make that life-defining decision that you are going to make God number one in your life in every area of your life. Start your day like Jesus did, to get up even earlier than what you're doing now. It means you might have to lose a little sleep or go to bed earlier, whatever it is, to pray and spend your spare time seeking the kingdom of God. So then when you seek his kingdom, he'll give you everything you need. If you want to be prepared for the end days, we have to make that life-defining decision so that we can be more than conquerors and super conquerors, and see it in every area of our life now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.